We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast. FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on a Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The transcript review by Fox News shows that during her recent closed-door interview on Capitol Hill, Page testified that collusion was still unknown 9 months into the FBI's Russia case when the special counsel Robert Mueller was appointed. Quote, I think this represents that even as far as May 2017, she said, we still couldn't answer the question. Page stopped mid-answer and then continued. Sorry, can I consult with counsel? I'm sorry, I need to consult with FBI counsel for a moment. Page did not answer questions from Fox News or other reporters heading into that deposition. During the session, Page was pressed on a May 2017 text with FBI agent Peter Strzok, where they debated the merits of joining the special counsel team. Strzok said he was concerned there was no, quote, big there. Neither Strzok nor Page have responded to our requests for fresh comments on that deposition.
On the Catherine Herridge discussing the information that was released from the House Judiciary Committee Republicans on Tuesday and discussing some of the most important information that we've heard so far about the genesis of the appointment of special counsel Robert Mueller. We're waiting on the Mueller report. That could come out any day now. And we're all wondering what it's going to come out with. But does it matter to you at all? Specifically, according to this Fox News report, that the House deposition by Lisa Page, who was a former lawyer with the FBI, this deposition reveals that she testified that investigators had no answers on collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia before the appointment of special counsel Mueller. There was no smoking gun. There was no specific evidence to point to suggest that that this idea of collusion between Donald Trump and Russia to change the outcome of an American election actually took place. A lot of people are, you know, looking at this in the same time that we're looking for the news that the Mueller report will be released. And again, we don't know when, if the Mueller report is going to be something that we're going to be able to fully consume, if it's going to be completely redacted. We don't know. But we do know that a lot of what went into, if not all of what went into the initial idea of Russia collusion and the necessity to have an investigation, a special counsel appointed to try to uncover the wrongdoings of one Donald Trump, that initial investigation, there weren't answers on collusion between Trump and Russia. That didn't exist. But there was enough initially before the special counsel was appointed. There was enough because of a dossier, a tabloid-like rag of a dossier, to go get a warrant to spy on an American citizen. And to think that this could happen in this circumstance, you know, Carter Page probably never thought he would be the subject of some sort of investigation, possibly one of the most far-reaching investigations in our country's history, politically motivated investigations. I think Carter Page ever thought he'd be the subject of a FISA warrant to spy on him, to listen in on his conversations? Doubt it. It really is something, and we're going to continue to talk about this throughout the course of the show as people continue to react to the revelation of these documents from this testimony in front of the House Judiciary Committee. So many people are watching for the Mueller report to come out. Many people are interested in what is taking place after the Mueller report comes out. So when Robert Mueller presents his report, William Barr, the new attorney general, get to look at that. He could be doing that right now, deciding what gets revealed to whom and how and where. If you look at the Democrats, especially the Democrats in the House, they've moved on. You get the vibe that the Mueller investigation is not going to produce the outcome that they had hoped that it would produce. That the Mueller investigation was supposed to be the ace in the hole. It was supposed to be the one thing that would actually signal some kind of high crime and misdemeanor that would be an impeachable offense. And that would be the end of President Trump's administration. That's what we've gotten for 2 years into this presidency. And now you've noticed a distinct shift in how the Democrats are focusing. And how much of everything that the Democrats are focusing on right now has stemmed from the constant talk, discussion on news networks, all of them, for 2 years because of the Russia investigation, because of information that has been made public through testimony, congressional testimony, into President Trump. They're investigating a person. If somebody wanted to investigate you, every corner, every nook and cranny of your life, would they find things that would be troublesome for you, in your mind, that the world, if the world were to find that out? You know, Donald Trump's life is a little bit, he lives a little bit larger than I do, certainly, probably a little bit larger than you do as well. But when you start digging around on a person just to try to find something on them, that's not the way we do things here. Even when you are charged with a crime, even when you've been, when there's been enough evidence presented to charge you with something, to indict you with something, you're still innocent until you're proven guilty. Which is why we have, when you watch a court case unfold, when you see it go through the judicial system, you're either found guilty or not guilty. It's not even a matter of proving innocence. We have to prove guilt. The question isn't, are you innocent? The question is, are you guilty? But not for Donald Trump. Donald Trump's question is, are you innocent? He's the guy who has been guilty since he won the election. Nobody on the side of Hillary Clinton would have ever thought that this country would elect a Republican man like Donald Trump. They think that because of Donald Trump's past, that there's no way he could be Republican. Well, I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of people who are broken individuals who happen to also be Republican. As a matter of fact, all of the Republicans are broken. So are the Democrats. It's just the way it is. But when you look at how, from the very get-go, there was an effort to try to flip the individuals who serve as electors in the Electoral College. Remember that? As soon as November 8th was over and Donald Trump won and Hillary Clinton came out late that night. How did that work? Did Hillary speak at 2 a.m.? Or did Donald Trump just declare victory at 2 a.m.? Because Hillary spoke the next day.
Yeah, she did not speak that night. I'm trying to think of his name. The campaign
Podesta?
Manager.
Yeah, that's right. Podesta walked out.
But did not.
It wasn't a concession.
It was not a concession, but then the report was that she had called and conceded.
That's what we, because we waited. We were waiting at the radio station.
Yeah.
And what sent us home.
We were wondering if she would actually come out and concede, and she didn't.
There was no speech by Hillary Clinton, but no. we basically called it when we found out that Hillary had made a phone call to the Trump, or at least the Clinton campaign made a phone call to the Trump campaign.
Yeah. Well, we called it when the last state, I can't remember which state it was, that was the final one that put it over the top.
Michigan,
Wisconsin, something like that. It was one of those.
DNC is going to Wisconsin.
Yeah. and yeah, we called it. And then some other news organizations held off for a bit because
they're still holding off.
Yeah.
It's been
because of that concession situation.
But yeah.
Then about 10 minutes after we called it, the rest of everybody else started to call it. And then
the next day it was like
Podesta
maybe 11 o'clock, 10 a.m., 11 a.m. The next day Hillary comes out.
Well, that's the night of the reports that she was unhinged.
Yeah.
Throwing things.
Not capable to go on a stage
and
say.
Not capable of walking out.
Yeah.
And giving a speech.
So she comes out the next day in that mournful black and purple suit. Donald Trump in a black suit with a purple matching tie. And it's not a conciliatory speech. She's mad. I'd be mad if I were her too. None of them thought that was even a possibility.
No.
It was not even a consideration.
No.
What happens when we lose? What are you talking about?
No, it was supposed to be, it was going to be a joke of a night.
Yeah. And as soon as that happened, immediately, the question was Electoral College versus popular vote. We've been down this road before.
Well, yeah.
People always want to harp on that when the popular vote and the Electoral College vote go separately. But listen, folks, the only reason to have an Electoral College is for the exact reason why it worked in 2016. Because you don't need to create an Electoral College when the popular vote and the Electoral College match. There's no point for that extra little layer in the system. But the idea is certainly that if you go by popular vote, you really don't need to have states. The states don't mean anything.
No. If you're going to go popular vote, take the states out of it.
The state divisions need to go away.
Exactly right.
Because if you have state boundaries, you know, the state of Illinois, Missouri, you and Illinois, we're just going to all become one happy family, one big, happy, dysfunctional family. If you have a popular vote for the president of the United States, and if you have a popular vote Senate setup, whatever, where we no longer have some sort of territorial representation, do you know what our country is called? It's the United States of America. We're not America. We are not just this one big country where we are all supposed to play by the same rules. That is what makes us unique. That's why states' rights are so incredibly important in our governmental system. Because of the lady who called us that one time and said, if you get rid of that, you're going to have all of the populace. You're going to get California and New York and Illinois and all these hyper-populous states say, let's dump all of our nuclear waste in Minnesota. And how does Minnesota stop that from happening?
They can't.
They cannot do it. So what's the point of a state boundary?
Yeah, well, I've said it so many times, but if you are in a low populated Midwest state and you are saying that you want to do away with the Electoral College, you are handing away any power that you, the little power that you do, that your vote does have. It has none.
You've cut your legs out.
You have no say in anything ever again.
It's really amazing. You know, if you want to go the way of California and New York, go there, go be there. You can live in a liberal utopia of high taxes, far-reaching government structure, overregulation of everything. And if you're happy as a clam there, bye.
Yeah.
Go. But you can't take a place, you can't take a state like Wyoming or a state like Missouri that's in the middle of the country minding their own business. Listen, you don't have to stay. And if you know, I'm speaking from somebody who lives in the state of Illinois, who is as blue, that's as blue as it can possibly be right now. I do have the opportunity to leave. And every day I have to measure my life circumstances against the government that is trying to rule them in every corner of my life. But do you think the state of Missouri wants to be run by the same principles as the state of Illinois? Of course not. And that's important. States' rights limits government. States' rights makes it so that we can have more control over how we live our lives on a day-to-day basis without having, you know, the big king lording over us the ways of a few populous areas. You still get your way in the populous areas. Your states are still far, far more progressive than many other places in the country. But those borders around each state, they mean something. And as soon as Hillary Clinton lost that night, it was one thing after another, after another, after another to try to undermine or unseat the president of the United States. And it's March 13th in 2019, and that is as alive and well today as it has ever been since November 8th, since before he was officially even inaugurated. And this Lisa Page document dump is just one more leaf on the tree of trying to destroy the president. And I'd say he's handling it quite nicely. At 12:40, we're going to speak with Mark Lauder, who is the Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020. I'm going to talk to him about Nancy Pelosi's comment about impeaching Trump and how Trump's not worth it. Oh, really? It's not been the tune for so long. What's changed, or has anything changed? Mark Lauder will talk to us at 12:40. And we're going to get an update on the Senate's vote to block President Trump's national emergency declaration from Jared Halperin at 1:25. We'll see where that stands. Stay tuned. A lot more Annie Fry Show headed your way.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I guess I just feel what took her so long? It's been 2 years, 300,000 documents, hundreds of hours of interviews, and she's come to the same conclusion that President Trump said day one, no collusion. So I'm surprised that it took her that long to get there.
Mark Lauder commenting on Nancy Pelosi's earlier comment earlier this week, saying that the president just isn't worth it when it comes to impeachment. I don't buy it. I don't believe it for a second. But Mark Lauder is going to join us at 12:40. So stay tuned for that. I can't wait to talk to him about what he thinks that the Democrats are doing, what they have up their sleeves. What essentially is this all about? It's interesting to watch Nancy Pelosi try to juggle whatever is going on in the House of Representatives right now, that's for sure.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
CNN's Don Lemon managed to
Tucker Carlson last night doing a story on his situation, kept referring to him as Don Lemon.
Don Lemon.
So I say, we roll with that.
All right. Well, Don Lemon. Don Lemon.
Sounds like Don Lemon.
You can't do it.
Don managed to connect President Donald Trump to what has been called the largest college administration scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice.
Obviously.
Last night, he said that the president also benefited from a rigged system that favors the elite. Of course, this goes back to the big story yesterday of law enforcement officials announcing 50 indictments of those involved in a scheme for wealthy parents to fraud universities and accepting their children.
Is this the definition of Trump derangement syndrome?
Hold on. When Lemon was talking about the
Lemon was talking about
the controversy last night on CNN, he called it disturbing that such well-off families would go to such lengths to get their children into college, and quickly pivoted to Trump. He said that such a scandal can reinforce many people's belief that the system is rigged against them. Something he noted was a theme during Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. This is what Donald Trump tapped into And in a lot of ways, guess what? He was right. Lemon conceded before using the scandal as the impetus to mention the president's own upbringing. A lot of people will point out, and they have every right to do so, that Donald Trump himself is the beneficiary of a system that's rigged in favor of the elite. Let's not forget the New York Times investigation that revealed at age three, Donald Trump was earning $200,000 a year. In today's dollars, he was a millionaire by eight. This was his coverage of the college scandal that he said all that in.
Trump! That it's somehow Trump's fault. It's like a game. It should be a game. How you could give any situation, any story, how can you connect it to Donald Trump? Because they could do it. Every time there's a way that the problem, and I've seen it on Fox, I've seen it on CNN. It's all Don.
If you were watching CNN last night and you heard Don Lemon say, start to talk about the college big scam yesterday, and then like walked in the kitchen to get a drink, and then came back and he was in the middle of saying, talking about the president was earning $200,000 by the age of three and a millionaire by eight, you'd think, whoa, he changed.
Yikes.
He must be rapid firing through the stories. No, it's same story.
Same.
What?
Same thing.
On some rather positive news, a follow-up story. I told you about the three-year-old Belleville toddler who had his prosthetic leg stolen. Oh. No, toddler. His prosthetic leg stolen about two weeks ago. Good news, Josiah Rainey walked on his new leg for the first time yesterday at Shriners Hospital here in St. Louis.
Yeah,
after hearing how his mother had left a backpack inside her car for the night, the backpack held his original $10,000 leg. Well, that was stolen. Shriners Hospital heard that story and picked up the tab for the new limb. In addition, a GoFundMe account has raised $4,000 towards a new wheelchair for Josiah.
Well done, folks. Well
done,
St. Louis.
That's awesome.
A lawsuit worth $275 million was filed against CNN on Tuesday over the network's alleged vicious attack against Covington Catholic High School student Nick Sandman. The lawsuit filed just after 3 p.m. in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Kentucky claimed that CNN elevated false, heinous accusations of racist conduct against Sandman and failed to adhere to well-established journalistic standards and ethics.
In sports, the Blues had 78 shot attempts last night, 40 on net. But a couple of miscues led to a 3-1 loss to the Coyotes at Enterprise Center. Jaden Schwartz with the lone goal for the Blue Note as they now pack their bags and head north of the border to face Ottawa tomorrow evening. The Missouri Tigers start the SEC basketball tournament this evening against the Georgia Bulldogs. Tip off at 6:30. The Illini have a matchup with Northwestern at 8 tonight in the Big Ten tournament. Do they have otter power? The Billikens are off till tomorrow night in the A-10 tourney in Brooklyn.
I do, baby.
Buying you an otter costume.
Powered by the otters.
Tony, I'm buying
I would wear an Illini Otters t-shirt.
You would?
Hint, hint. Go Otters.
Get them while they last, because they're not making anymore.
I'd wear like an entire Otters
outfit.
Suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever happens to the Missouri River Otters, the hockey team out there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Any idea?
I actually know about that. Not that what happened to them, but I actually know what they are.
You recognize the reference from the early 2000s.
I do.
Boy, you're so old.
What Katie if means is I've heard of that.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know what happened
to them.
That
wasn't the roller hockey team, was it?
No, they were
what was
UHL.
The name of the roller hockey team?
The Vipers at the arena and Scottrade Center.
That's it.
Missouri River Otters were a minor league hockey team.
In the
in
UHL.
St. Charles.
Yep. Played at the Family Arena.
What else can you tell us about it?
Still around?
You know what? That's probably why I knew about them, because I grew up in St. Charles, and the Family Arena was very close to my parents'
1999
house.
To 2006.
I know what that is.
Sports!
Yay!
I was going to say, we don't assume that when Katie doesn't say that she doesn't know what we're talking about.
But most of the time, you can come to
even
your
on
the
show for like.
Did you know it was a hockey
six
team?
6 or 7 months.
Or had you just heard the Otters before?
No, I knew the name and I knew it was a hockey team because, like I said, I grew up in St. Charles.
Can we talk about why Otters makes more sense for a hockey team than it does for a university? Because of the ice and the water situation there? As opposed to just like something in the middle of Illinois?
Fighting Otters. The Otters have made a big comeback in Illinois. They are no longer on the endangered species list.
I am extremely excited
in the Missouri rivers and
to remind you all
rivers and streams.
That Mark Lauder when is going to be on the show at 12:40.
You know when a football team comes running out of the locker room and they burst through? Could you imagine the team being led by like 200 otters come running out first?
On leashes, though.
And then, and then here come the players behind the otters.
They're like, yeah, we're pumped.
They smash their own little tiny banner, and then the players smash through a big one.
They can do it with their tails.
The students failed us, Tony.
What would that sound like? What would that sound like?
Goes, how did it go?
I can't.
As they rumble onto the field.
Again, it goes into down with the sickness real fast.
It does.
Real fast. Can we go to a break?
And the otters are taking the field. And then people are just going crazy.
Do otters fly?
The place goes berserk. Those otters will.
They do if you throw them.
That sounds like it could be a Beatles song. Do otters fly?
A Beatles song?
Yeah. Off of Yellow Submarine.
I know who they are.
You could go that far.
I know the Beatles.
I don't think Katie should be going that far back.
My apologies to the Missouri River Otters. And I'm really excited to talk to Mark Lauder coming up next. He is actually important.
If Annie accidentally calls him Mark Otter during the interview,
well, that'd be great.
The director of strategic communications for Trump 2020.
Mark Lauder, another graduate of the University of Illinois. He is a former otter. Yeah.
Fake news. I don't even know what this sounds like. What is this? Where did it go?
It's important. Fake news.
Yeah, fake news. I have a button here. It says fake news buzzer, and that would be fake news. All right. When he comes back, we're going to ask him about Nancy Pelosi and her comments about Trump not being worth the efforts of impeachment. I don't buy it for a second. We'll see what Mark Lauder has to say about that in a moment.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
We're focused on doing what the American people actually care about, whether it's growing the economy, creating jobs like the more than 5 million jobs the president has created since being elected to office, defeating ISIS, rebuilding the military. These are things that people are sitting around in America that they actually care about. Nobody wants to see President Trump impeached because other than Democrats in Congress who are failing, who have no other message, and that's because our country is doing better, and they know that that is hard for them to run against in 2020, and I think they've got a very, very hard uphill battle ahead of them.
Sarah Sanders reacting to the reality of what the president has been able to do in his administration so far, but certainly under the duress of constant investigations of what the president himself calls presidential harassment. Nancy Pelosi saying earlier this week that President Trump's just not worth it when it comes to impeachment. That's a brand new perspective from Nancy Pelosi, and here to talk to us about it, Mark Lauder, the Trump 2020 Strategic Communications Director. Mark, thanks for coming on with us today.
It's good to be with you.
So when you hear Nancy Pelosi almost just like dismiss the president as if he's just, you know, another politician that she's not going to give the time of day. That's all she's been focused on for quite some time. What's with the change?
I think that's code word for there's no evidence.
Yeah.
You know, after 2 years, 300,000 some documents, hundreds of hours of interviews, they still have no evidence of collusion. And it also probably shows that she can read polls, because if you notice, all of her spokespeople immediately went out and said and started talking about the things that the same issues that they talked about in 2016, which makes me believe that they probably saw a poll that shows that impeaching this president, who's got record number of success, the American people can see it, would be a political disaster for them. And they're already staring at political disaster as they, you know, race towards socialism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You listen to some of these people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz talk about how now we have to make sure we wait for all the facts. The only reason why we're hearing that, in my estimation, is because the facts are about to be presented and they want the most fresh thing in our memory to be them being calm and collected and patient for actual information. But they've been, convicting him in the court of public opinion since day one. does this automatically shift focus into all of their new investigations for the next 2 years? And that's going to be what we have to deal with going into 2020?
Well, I think we just need to realize that, you know, I mean, they don't have an agenda aside from socialism, and their focus is investigation. And I've joked with some, I said, you know, I'm sure at some point they're going to, like, subpoena the White House chef to see if anybody had Russian dressing on their salad at the White House. I mean, that's how deranged and filled with Trump derangement syndrome they have become. And it just shows you that, you know, that they've lost touch with reality. They're when you look at their policy proposals, if you want to even call them that, I mean, it's outright embracement of socialism. You've got some of their leading candidates literally going out there, and I've said this a couple times today so far, like, to all your listeners, open your wallet or your purse. I bet you that there's probably a health insurance card in there, maybe from your employer, most likely from your employer, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Aetna, United, you know, there's so many of them out there. They're all, you know, And they want to take that out of your pocket against your will. Just rip that card right out of your wallet and put in there a government health care card. And we need to see through, this is what these programs actually mean to people. It's not just some broad, evil, scary term called socialism. They want to literally eliminate private health insurance.
Yeah.
Pay people who don't want to work.
Mark, you know, a lot of people, you can have a field day. I could spend every day, all day, talking about all of the stupid things Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has said lately. And she's a punchline for Republicans. Democrats are divided on whether she's their leader or she's the thing that they have to try to stop people from talking about because she's just too off the cuff without facts behind what she has to say. I contest that we should probably take her a little bit more seriously than I think that the majority of people on the Republican side have done so far. They say she's young. They say she's stupid. They dismiss her. She's got momentum behind her because she knows how to manipulate things like social media, and she knows how to get a message out. And most of the time, the Democratic message and the very honest version of the Democratic message being socialism sounds real good. But obviously, we know that in practice, it doesn't work. Are we going to take this idea of socialism from the left very seriously going into 2020, or are we going to continue, from what I hear from a lot of people, to dismiss it as unrealistic, unapproachable, unworkable, and kind of fringe?
No, absolutely, we're going to take it seriously, and we've got. It's very important for people to understand these are not ideas from the fringe of their party; they're fringe ideas from the leaders of their party. And look, I don't spend much of my time worrying about freshman lawmakers, from New York or Minnesota or even Michigan, but the fact that so many of their leading candidates for president, some of the top candidates in their party for president, are embracing their ideas, are openly endorsing their ideas, are afraid to rebuke them when they get out of line and say things that are anti-Semitic, so to speak. That's what concerns me. And to the point that you literally had earlier this week, the AFL-CIO, the largest labor union in our country, send a letter to Congress telling them that their socialist dreams and their Green New Deal will cost millions of blue-collar Americans their jobs and their families their livelihoods, and they will not stand for it. Mm-hmm. Now, Annie, you and I both know Donald Trump won blue-collar workers.
Yeah.
The labor leaders and union leaders might still be Democrats, and the money might be going all to the Democrats, but the rank-and-file people who are working hard work, build things with their hands, they support this president because he said he's going to bring back their jobs, and we're bringing back manufacturing jobs and wages going up.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about the fact that the largest labor union in the country, the bulwark of the Democrat Party, had to rebuke them for their socialist ideas, that tells you how far out of touch they are. And why it's so important that blue-collar Americans and Americans of all walks of life realize that this leadership of President Trump is what's best for our country when it comes to growing jobs, increasing paychecks, and dealing with the issues that so many elected leaders in Congress and previous presidents of both parties have kicked down the road.
We're speaking with Director of Strategic Communication for Trump 2020, Mark Lauder. Mark, you talk about working people. I talk to them frequently on the show. Lots of people who are from their local unions here, they call in, they say they support Trump and everybody they work with supports Trump. The union doesn't, but they do. You have the DNC announcing this week and Tom Perez saying that the Democratic Party is the party of working people and Milwaukee is full of working people. What's your response to the DNC suggesting that Milwaukee is where they want to plant the very beginning of their run to challenge Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, Milwaukee's a fine city, and, you know, and obviously, and, you know, I worked for a mayor of Indianapolis for about 5 years. And so, you know, I'm never going to question and you know, the sheer amount of impact that a convention like that of either of the major party political conventions can have on a city and its economy. So that's great news for Milwaukee. I will tell you that the last two cities where the Democrats have held their conventions, they've lost those states. So I'm sure President Trump's going to make that three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But let's also, you know, remember that, A, Milwaukee has a history of electing socialist mayors. And also, let's remember that they abandoned the middle class. They abandoned hardworking Americans. It was their former president, Barack Obama, who told manufacturing workers that their jobs were going away and it would take a magic wand for them to come back. President Trump proved otherwise. Hillary Clinton told coal miners that their jobs were going to be eliminated, and she proudly wanted to do it. Those jobs are coming back. Coal mines and our mining industries are succeeding again. So many times, time and time again, we have seen Democrats say one thing, do the other, and this is a president who's going to call it out, whether it's a history of being anti-Israel and anti-Semitic stances and remarks. And even though I know many folks of Jewish faith typically vote Democrat, it's time that they're starting to take a new look at things.
Sure.
Realize this is a president who supports Israel, who fulfilled the promise of Bill Clinton 25 years ago, and finally moved the embassy to Jerusalem, where it belongs. These are the kinds of things, it's the results that matter. And I think more and more people are seeing beyond the sound bites, seeing beyond the talking heads on cable, and seeing the real life benefits and examples and successes of this president.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to the case is going to continue to be made for the president. The Democrats are going to continue to try to keep impeachment in the front and center conversation, maybe not through Nancy Pelosi, but it'll certainly be there. Mark Lauder, thank you so much for the time today. We look forward to seeing what the days ahead have in store for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to being back, Annie.
Absolutely. On Twitter, at @Mark_Lauder. Go thank him for coming on the show today. There's a story out. CNN's running with the story. Did you know that there was a back channel of email communication between Rudy Giuliani and Michael Cohen? This could be big trouble. Tony, big trouble? Tony's not listening to me. Tony, are you listening to TV? He's listening to TV.
Tony's on TV time.
We're staring at him, and he's messing with his mustache. He has no idea we're talking about him.
I think he's reading up on it.
He has
listening to it.
He has the information for us. Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani. I'm going to tap him on the shoulder here in a second. I hope you're watching on the webcam. You can see this unfolding. 971talk.com/Annie. We'll be right back with Tony, most likely, in a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.